Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday, May 21st, 2006, just a few days after the announcement of the Tony Award nominations, the 60th annual Tony Awards for Excellence on Broadway. And figured, you know, I generally have people on the show who are theater critics or theater experts, and several have been on many times, but I've got a new person here, a new visitor to the neighborhood. Thought it would be fun to talk to the co-host of Theater Talk, which is a theater, not so much a review program, but an interview program that has been airing on public television, I think, for almost a decade now.
10 years.
10 years, a decade.
You're a grab bag of theater information.
There you go. Yeah. And the voice that you're hearing is that of Susan Haskins. And I'm sure you've seen the show on PBS. It's on kind of late, usually either midnight or about 12:30.
12:30
on Friday.
If we're lucky, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll let you do the intro. Why don't you tell us all about...
Well, yes, the show's PBS, Channel 13 in the New York City area, 12:30, unless there's some cultural event that bumps us to 1. And then the show is repeated on CUNY TV in New York, on weekends, on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, 5 times. Consult your local listings.
There you go. Consult your local listings.
And we're on WGBH Boston. Are you in Boston?
Well, if you're on the internet, I'm everywhere.
Podcast,
so.
Right.
There, but by the way, if Susan mentions we when she talks about the show, that other person is named Michael Riedel, and he was on our show a couple of months back talking about his career, because he writes also for the New York Post. He has a biweekly column. But Susan actually and Michael have been doing their TV show, as she says, for about 10 years. Was it your idea? Was it his idea?
No, we agree with our mutual idea. We met on the Stephen Holt show, a cult cable show which still exists and thrives on public access. And we met on that show 13 years ago and decided to cook up a Meet the Press of Theater. And really sort of the two of us had the same idea and got it going. And we were on public access for 3 years and then took it to PBS.
Just to give people some idea, who are some of the people, the guests that you've had on the show?
Well, for instance, this past Friday and next weekend on CUNY TV, we have Patti LuPone and Michael Cerveris of Sweeney Todd. Today we just interviewed Richard Griffiths of the History Boys and Bob Martin from The Drowsy Chaperone. We had playwright Alan Bennett, who wrote The History Boys several weeks ago. We had playwright David Hare, who wrote the very powerful Stuff Happens about the war in Iraq. We like to bring people from all different creative disciplines on the show. We have producers, we have designers, we have a lot of writers.
And you've had some pretty major legends as well.
Yes, yes. Soon we're going to have Eric Bentley.
Nice.
Over the eminent critic, over 90 years old, and he's going to talk about Brecht. So we sort of run the gamut from Antonio Banderas to...
Well, to Eric Bentley.
Okay,
so speaking of running the gamut, let's go over some of the big categories of the Tonys this year. First of all, any big shocks for you? Any real surprises that you were like, oh my gosh?
The biggest shock was in the Best Actress in a Play category. There had been much talk of would Julie Roberts make the cut or not. And I had been very disturbed by a ruling by the Tony Committee, which has great power over what's going to happen in the nominations, and sometimes it seems to be very political, the decisions they make. They had ruled Zoe Wanamaker, the wonderful actress who plays what is, without question, the leading role in the revival of Clifford Odets' Awake and Sing. They had ruled her a supporting actress.
Hmm.
And...
Yeah, it is a lead role, definitely.
And the excuse that was given by the Tony Committee was that when Awake and Sing first ran, which I believe was in 1936, was in 35, that the group theater had been a communal theater company and nobody was above anybody else, and therefore, because that was the intention then, that Zoe Wanamaker should not be singled out as the leading actress now.
I don't know about that.
She was knocked out of the category, and then the belief was, well, maybe this was a way to get Julia Roberts a nomination for her lackluster, but not as horrible as many people said, performance in 3 Days of Rain. So, but that's not what they did. They nominated Lynn Redgrave for a play that was done at the Roundabout last spring, a very slight play by Somerset Maugham, who's not you Somerset Maugham fans, this is not one of his better works. You know, he was phoning this one in.
And I know we have so many Somerset Maugham fans listening right now.
But you know, he did some fabulous stuff, but not this play. And it was this kind of dopey play about marriage mores, the late 19th century or whatever. And Lynn Redgrave played the old Bezoar mother, who was a very supporting role. Sort of your Lynn Redgrave, parts of being Ernest type performance. But because her name was above the title, they said, aha, well, she's a leading actress. And then they nominated her as best leading actress candidate. And that just struck me as a decision which said the theater really is dead. The Tony nominators didn't want to nominate Julia Roberts, so they showed everybody and went and nominated this supporting, antediluvian performance, you know, the overbearing mother in this comedy of manners. And to me, that was the biggest shock.
Well, I mean, I'm with you halfway on that, in the sense that the Redgrave wasn't an amazing or great performance, but she was better than... I would not have given Julia Roberts a Best Actress.
No, but I think that came from the Zoe Wanamaker thing. And also, Carrie Jones had been submitted in the supporting category, although she had just as much to do as the two other people, as Ralph Fiennes. But that was some kind of decision made by producers to submit her as supporting for the Faith Healer. And she did a wonderful job, I thought. So... it's kind of, you're playing games with who's a lead and who's not.
Right. And actually, she didn't get a nomination, by the way. She was not.
No, right. And this was decided, by committees of producers, not by the nominators themselves, who's even eligible. And so sometimes people who were clearly supporting become eligible as leads, and people who are clearly leads are not eligible. And it's frustrating, because then... The performances of most merit don't get recognized.
And Dave Lefkowitz is here for the play-by-play. The play-by-play-by-play by Dave in his book of plays, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies, satirical, silly, sad, and strange, all collected in a great-looking book. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Email davesgoneby@aol.com or visit davesgoneby.org for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Play Dave!
This is Susan Haskins from Theater Talk, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
We are talking with Susan Haskins on Dave's Gone By. She's the co-host of Theater Talk.
And the executive producer.
How did you, by the way, get into theater to begin with?
Just always. When I was one of those kids who always wanted to be in theater, so went along and did all kinds of things, and I was in casting and all kinds of things. But I was kind of bored with what I was doing, and when I ran across Michael Riedel and we cooked up this TV show, that just seemed like a great idea. So when I was able to make a real job of it when we got on PBS, I jumped at the chance.
Is it your full-time gig?
I'm also a teacher.
Oh, cool.
And Sholem Malakum said, if I were a rich man, I'd be richer than a rich man because I teach.
And
so
what?
I actually teach at Pratt Institute. I teach college.
Do you teach drama or English?
I teach English.
Cool. All right, let's get to the actual categories, some of the major categories. Leading actor in a play. You've got Ralph Fiennes from Faith Healer going against Richard Griffiths of The History Boys, Zeljko Ivanek, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, from the just-closed King Mutiny.
Captain Queeg, right.
Right, Oliver Platt in Shining City, and David Wilmot in Lieutenant of Inishmore.
I don't know which part he played.
Oh, he was the crazy...
The lieutenant?
He was the crazy nut. Yeah.
The Catman? So, now, are you asking me who I think should win?
Yeah.
Well, I must say I'm a sucker for Griffith's performance in The History Boys. Just a wonderful, special performance.
Do you think he'll get the...
I think he'll get it. In Shining City, I was sorry not to see Brian O'Byrne nominated, who gave a much subtler performance, but I actually preferred him to Oliver Platt, although Platt did a good job. Ivanek, of course, doesn't have a chance that
now that the show's...
Ralph Fiennes. A very interesting performance, but it doesn't top Griffith.
Okay. And going back to actress, well, we sort of talked about this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Burton, Constant Wife, versus Lynn Redgrave and Constant Wife. Judy Kay, Souvenir. Lisa Kron in Well, that came out of left field. And Cynthia Nixon for Rabbit Hole.
I think this is going to be a lock for Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah.
I think her notoriety in the rabbit hole, that she'll get it.
She was really good, but do you think she should beat Judy Kay?
Well, I love Judy Kay. I absolutely love Judy Kay, but I just don't think that Judy Kay has a chance. That's a show that closed quite a long time ago, and it had mixed. I was quite fond of it, but many people weren't that crazy about it, and I just don't think, as much deserved as her nomination is, I don't think she's going to beat Cynthia Nixon, who's, although Rabbit Hole's also closed, but who's known so well. I just think that performance as the mother, the bereaved mother who's lost her child, is
that was a very good play.
More dramatic than Judy Kay's, which is almost Judy Kay's was almost a musical performance. She was she played the actress Florence Foster. No, not the she played the singer Florence Foster Jenkins, who couldn't sing on tune.
Right.
And it was just lovely. But again, I think Nixon's going to get it no matter what.
Yeah, and I think that was really more of a musical than a play.
That's right.
So, all right, let's get to the revivals of shows. The big revivals of a musical were Pajama Game, Sweeney Todd, and Three Penny Opera. Only
right.
Three in the category.
Right. That was it.
Your thoughts?
The horse race is between Pajama Game and Sweeney Todd. The Three Penny Opera, although I suppose well-intended, was awful. And
agreed.
You know. And I think it'll go to Sweeney Todd because it's a far more innovative production. The Pajama Game is fun and wonderful, but it is that, you know, a well-mounted revival, whereas Sweeney Todd's completely rethought and just very exciting in what they're doing.
So it sounds like that's what you would vote for also.
Yes,
not
I would
just
vote for it, and I believe it will win.
Cool. And as far as a play goes, you've got Awake and Sing, mm-hmm. The Constant Wife, Edward Albee's Seascape, and Faith Healer.
I think Awake and Sing.
Yeah, that seems to be the strong one here.
I do. And, you know, and Awake, now isn't this the 100th centennial Clifford Odets or something like that?
Well, it shouldn't figure into that, but okay.
But in sitting in Awake and Sing, I thought, oh, wow, this is what it was like to see plays in the old days. It just reminded you of the power of a certain kind of theater. And audiences really took to it. I've already discussed The Constant Wife. Faith Healer is very interesting, but I think it's three monologues which tell a story which kind of never is resolved, and I think a lot of people don't totally know what to make of it.
Yeah, I mean, I love
three powerful performances, but I think that The Awake and Sing, which is this wonderful ensemble production, I was surprised, I want to say, that Ben Gazzara did not get a nomination for Awake and Sing.
Not everybody liked him,
really?
And he was kind of hard to understand. A lot of the critics apparently didn't know that he had had, I think, throat cancer or something like that, and that he had trouble speaking. So
he was just such a moving performance.
I thought he was very, very good.
Yeah. Well, that was the person I certainly had. I, been a Tony nominator, would have wanted to include.
Yeah. And I mean,
I didn't even notice the vocal problem. I just thought he's old.
And gruff and gravelly. No, that's the way he talks.
Yeah,
he's
but
got,
there were moments of that. Yeah. He's such a powerful actor. There was some moment of some tragic moment there with this poor family, and he just looked out at the audience and put tear in his eye and just riveting acting.
Yeah, and I thought it was a really good revival. I do think that Awake and Sing has it over something like King Mutiny in the sense that we don't know it as well.
Ah, that's a very good point. Whereas the problem with the King Mutiny, I don't know quite why they took that on, because it's so hard to beat the movie on that one.
Right, you got Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah,
oh, gosh,
you know, those iconic performances, and they had a very tough challenge, and unfortunately they couldn't quite meet it.
Yeah, I mean, they thought it would be relevant because of Iraq, and it sort of was, but...
Well, someone said to me today, Clive Barnes, he said, I think it's relevant in the red states.
Interesting. Well put. Okay, let's get to the biggies. The big boys. Best new, well, I'm putting in the word new in quotes. Best musical, The Color Purple, The Drowsy Chaperone, Jersey Boys, and The Wedding Singer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's between Jersey Boys and The Drowsy Chaperone.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, I don't think that either The Wedding Singer or Color Purple have a chance.
Hopefully not.
My heart. I love Jersey Boys, and I was all for it. And then along came The Drowsy Chaperone, which I absolutely adore.
Cool.
I think, you know, I'd actually, I hope I can see Jersey Boys again, because I'm, you know, like them both. Now, you know, with the Tony votes, there's this all-important road voters, the people who control the touring companies, and they come in, and they vote, and they're a very strong block of voters, and they vote for things that are viable on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Jersey Boys probably is more viable on the road than the Drowsy Chaperone, because the thing about the Drowsy Chaperone, which is a very fun and but also moving piece about the love of theater and this man reflecting on his favorite musical, this star Bob Martin, there aren't very many of him, and I don't know how viable it is on the road because he's only got one of him.
Right. Well, you know, I think it could work possibly the other way, in the sense that Jersey Boys is a lock to tour,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. I mean, you know that thing can tour everywhere.
That's right.
Whereas Drowsy Chaperone might need to go to places and say, hey, we won the Tony.
Need it. They need it, the Tony, more than Jersey Boys.
So maybe the block of folks who are voting from all these regional and then touring houses will keep that in mind, and they'll throw their vote to Drowsy Chaperone instead of Jersey Boys.
Well, I hope you're right, because both of those shows should thrive, but the Drowsy Chaperone, which just came out of nowhere.
Didn't it? Yeah. And it's
out
delightful.
Out of nowhere. It's so wonderful, and I just recommend it to everybody to go see it. It's just, I was just, had a big smile on my face the entire time. I was over the moon with joy. What can I say?
Okay, we've got our last category here. Best play.
Yes.
Alan Bennett's History Boys, Martin McDonagh's The Lieutenant of Inishmore, David Lindsay of Ayer's Rabbit Hole, and Connor McPherson's Shining City. It's funny how they nominated Lisa Kron for Will, which was a bizarre acting thing, but didn't give her play.
Well,
I didn't like the play much.
I didn't think, yeah, that was the thing. The big omission there was Primo. By Anthony Scher, about the Primo Levi in Auschwitz, wasn't he, in the concentration camp, which was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen on the stage. And although it was last summer, I thought it was very regrettable that that play was not included.
I bet they were thinking of putting that in, like, one of those special categories, except
but
they didn't have one this
again,
year.
This Tony committee ruled it a play and not a special category. But that's what I thought, that Primo should have gone in a special category instead of just handing it to Sarah Jones, which was all very well and good. It would have been smarter to put Chia Rivera and Primo in that category. But Primo was a play, and I think it should have been one of the four nominees. That being said, I think this will definitely go to the History Boys.
And are you happy with that?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think that's a fine decision. I very much liked Shining City. I thought The Lieutenant of Inishmore was a lot of fun, but I think the History Boys is the one with the sexiest, so to speak. It's a very strong play. Plus, it's a snob British hit, and
yeah.
I think that's definitely going to win.
Well, let me ask you, before I let you go, Susan Haskins of Theater Talk, what are you looking forward to on or off Broadway this coming season?
You know, David...
Too early to even talk about it, right?
Slightest idea. I just take things as they come at me, and I'm so busy making, you know, this week's Theater Talk and next week's Theater Talk that I haven't the slightest idea what's coming in, quite honestly. What are you looking the most forward to?
Oh, gosh, I'm not even thinking of... Well, I'm kind of looking forward to Chorus Line, although I still remember it pretty well.
You know, I am not.
Oh,
I think
wow.
I think that was then and this is now, and it turns out they make it work, that's fabulous, but I just don't see that being... I just don't see that being successful.
And what about South Pacific? I'm not sure if that's next
season. Oh, no, are they doing South Pacific?
Well, it's either going to be this coming season or the season after, but they're finally doing it. And I've never seen it done.
But who's going to be in it, you know?
Oh, I don't know if they've even cast it yet. If
they're
smart, they'll get Brian Stokes Mitchell like they did in that concert.
Well, South Pacific is a wonderful, wonderful show. All power to them. I would, if the South Pacific's coming, I'm much more enchanted by the prospect of that than seeing a Chorus Line again. I think the Chorus Line was dealing with a lot of issues now that will seem dated to us, and whereas the issues in South Pacific are eternal.
Well, I mean, if what happened to a class act is any indicator, I mean, I love that musical, and just nobody came to it.
No, no.
And so hopefully that won't be a sign. But we shall see.
We shall see.
And who are some of the upcoming guests, or can you say yet, on Theater Talk?
Well, next week, this coming Friday, we have a great show with Richard Griffiths from The History Boys and Bob Martin from The Drowsy Chaperone.
Right.
And my big favorite. And then the following week, we have our Tony Prediction Show, and then we are going to have John Lahr come on and talk about, the following week after that, John Lahr will come and talk about Awake and Sing.
Cool.
And on and on and on.
Well, on to your 11th year on Theater Talk.
On to our 11th year.
12:30 in the morning on Friday, no, it's Friday early
morning. Saturday morning.
Saturday early morning on your PBS station.
12:30 on Channel 13, or if you're in New York City, catch up with it on CUNY TV on weekends, and also we are streaming 24 hours a day on the internet.
Wow.
So you can now watch most of our episodes if you go to www.theatertalker.org.
Theater Talk, that's theater with an ER.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that for Togel Theater, which is a producer of this show. So it's also Theater Talk with an ER.
Yes.
For Susan Haskins, Michael Riegel, and thanks, Susan, so much for giving us your picks and predictions for the Tonys.
Have a great one.